You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gordon Brown, Andy Holding and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. It's Bath and Beverley on Tuesday afternoon, Thurscombe Worcester in the evening on the domestic front, and there's also racing over in Ireland from Killarney as well. Plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kev?
Happy Monday, Mark.
Happy Monday, the start of another week. You well? All good?
Yeah, not too bad. Had my bike stolen over the weekend, but had backed a couple of winners, had some good fun, had a few drinks, and had a nice relaxing Sunday. So it's a nice healthy mix of stuff.
Yeah, good and the bad, taking it all in the in your stride.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Just keep ploughing forward.
Nice, glass half full kind of attitude. I like it. We're going to look at the Monday jury to start with.
Looks
back on some of the weekend action and such. And then we'll get stuck into Tuesday's racing. So before we get stuck into the Monday jury, just a little bit of news that's caught my eye, which I think is quite nice. The return of the famous maroon and white Sheikh Mohammed silks, carried by the likes of Oso Sharp and Pebbles in the past. We're going to see him again, which is nice.
Yeah, indeed. How long were they gone for, though? I don't feel like they've been off the scene too long.
It'd be a fair while, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you had like the likes of Casamento not so long ago.
You said 10 years, maybe?
Not even that, I wouldn't say. But even so, nice to see him back. Obviously, he'll probably start getting some juveniles out and in them colours and see how to get on. Yeah, so it'd be nice to see them back on the scene.
Yes, one for the purists, if you like.
Indeed.
Let's have them back. Anyway, that was a little aside. Let's get stuck into the Monday jury. First question of it, what did you make of this year's July Cup won by Harry Angel?
It was an excellent renewal. Me and you were talking about the small field a few days ago, so it wasn't a lightning fast time like it was produced by Lamato last season. As for Caravaggio getting beaten, you know, it's just the way the race panned out. Harry Angel settled an awful lot better on the front end, and he wasn't as keen in front. He just settled a lot better, and he was able to dictate the pace. I thought that Caravaggio's pacemaker, Intelligence Cross, might push him a little bit more and light him up a little bit more from the front, but it didn't transpire that way. So, you know, Harry Angel was given a really nice sighter in front, and he just stayed on really strongly. It was another cracking run from Lamato, and a brilliant run from Brando as well, who we mentioned the other day as a likely outsider, didn't we?
Yeah.
As for Caravaggio, it's hard to know what they're going to do from here. Did it step him up in trip, keep him at 6 furlongs? He's still obviously a very classy animal. It's a shame that he didn't, you know, I thought he might develop into a really great sprinter, the likes of Muharrar, who dominated throughout his 3-year-old career. But it's difficult to do for these sprinters, especially in a very good year. So fair play to Harry Angel. I'm sure it'll be on to the Haydock Sprint Cup for him, where Haydock will suit him. I'm sure he's won there before. I think he nearly broke the track record there once, or did so. So looking forward to seeing how he gets on, and Limato reopposing, and we'll see where Caravaggio goes from here.
Yeah.
But it was a great renewal.
Harry Angel, already the track record holder at Haydock, so right. Sprint Cup would be obvious for him to go and try and continue his fantastic 3-year-old campaign. With regards to Caravaggio, with these sprinters, it's hard for them to just keep winning, because if anything goes wrong, you're done, aren't you, in a sprint? And he had to come down the near side rail, which proved to be the place not to be on the Saturday. In the end, it just kind of all got away from him. And like I say, Harry Angel could set his own fractions in front. And I think I wouldn't entirely write Caravaggio off yet.
He's not a strong traveller by any... He's not a powerful traveller.
Yeah.
When he was coming down the wrong side of the track as well, and it all just lent itself to him running a little bit below expectations. But at the same time, he was only beaten a couple of lengths by a seriously good horse in Harry Angel, who had the run of the race. So, as you say, it was by no means a poor effort from Caravaggio, and he remains a top-class animal to go to war with.
Did any juvenile who ran last week strike you as a potential classic winner?
Clemmy. It has to be Clemmy, the Aidan O'Brien filly. I mean, I've backed September for next year's 1,000 guineas, but I'm a little bit concerned that Clemmy might just improve past her. There's not much between them on collateral form through Nialetti. But I'm saying it on air when they ran the other day. Nialetti is going to get the run of this race, and Clemmy will need to be a really good filly to beat her.
Yeah.
And so it proved. She stayed on really strongly. You know, she just looks like a really classy filly. There's not much to her yet. She's got a little bit of filling out to do in her frame. I haven't looked at prices for next year's classics, if I'm being honest. But just the visual impression that she gave, she would be the one for me, Clemmy.
Okay, just getting the prices up for the classics next year. The 1,000 guineas, Clemmy is... Come on, PC, you can
up
do
there,
it.
Up there, I'd say she's... I mean,
yeah, she's second favourite behind September now. 92 September, 8-1 Clemmy, 20-1 Bar.
I thought she might replace September, but I suppose September's got... You know, she's a Royal Ascot winner. And,
yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, there's not a great deal between those two fillies now, but Clemmy certainly stood out for me. Gustav Klimt, he was a good gutsy winner. I'm not too sure what the form represents, but he's certainly better than that bear form suggests.
He is now the favourite for the 2,000 guineas, by the way.
Is he really?
6-1 favourite, yeah.
Interesting. I didn't realise that he would be quite that reaction to his performance. I need to probably go back and look at it again.
Yeah. The way he found trouble and still got up to win, that makes it more impressive. And he improved so much from his first to his second start, as all of Aidan O'Brien seemed to do. I think he's a very talented horse.
Do you?
Yeah, I was very impressed with him.
It's quite early in the season, though, isn't it, to be putting up part?
It's quite early to be talking guineas horses, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, I don't know. I think the two Aidan O'Brien fillies...
Yeah.
That could be his best colt. It could be. We'll see. But much sterner examinations lay ahead, you'd have to say. But my first impression when I looked at that race on Saturday is that it wasn't the strongest. But we'll see. We'll soon see.
Mm. So a couple to consider there for the classics next year. How do you think Enable would measure up against colts and older horses?
She's a machine. She travels so powerfully. She's got loads of scope, loads of class. She stays so well. She'll get an allowance in most of these races as well. So very well is the answer to that question. Where she goes next is a little bit of an enigma. They're talking about the King George and her being something that could go for the Ark. But I've been thinking about races like the Judd Monte as well, which is coming up. And, you know, we've seen horses step back in trip to really good effect in that race before. And I'm not really sure what's in that race. Plus, I mean, more importantly, what's in that race represented by the owner, or sorry, the race sponsor,
yeah,
Khaled Abdullah. So, well, I'm not sure what else he would have in that race, and he might just supplement her for that at the Orca Ebor meeting for the Judd Monte. So, yeah, essentially, yes, I think she would measure up very, very well indeed. I think it would take a good colt to beat her.
Do you think the ultimate aim will end up being the Ark, given the great record for 3-year-old fillies in the race and the fact that she looks incredibly talented?
She looks up to it. Yeah. She looks up to taking her chance, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She's really, really exciting. She's won both the Oaks now. As I said the other day, when I saw her at Chester, I thought she was just a scopey filly with a future. But yeah, the way she improved and put Rhododendron in her place at Epsom made you really stand up and think, you know, wow, she's exceptional. And she followed that up at the Curragh with a flawless performance.
Yeah.
The way she strode up that straight was just hugely impressive.
So,
you know, it's going to take a really good colt to beat her if she remains in that kind of form.
Mm. Which other horses caught your eye in Britain or Ireland last week?
Nothing by way of kind of group horses, but we'll see in the fullness of time. But I really liked Fire Tree at Ascot on Friday. He got himself out of trouble. He was racing up the centre of the course, and then he kind of had to join the main pack that were coming up the near side.
Yeah.
And I really liked the way he found for pressure. The other one was the 3-year-old Richard Fahey's 3-year-old filly at Chester on Saturday, called the Wagon Wheel. It was in a sprint race, and she was drawn in stall 9. But the way she overcome that race, and despite coming wide into the straight at Chester, she managed to travel really kindly and stretch away quite impressively with the Wagon Wheel. She's got a little bit of experience now, so she's not what you would call completely lightly raced for her age, but she's improving the Wagon Wheel, and she's certainly one I'll be keen to keep an eye on, along with Fire Tree.
Okay. So-called Super Saturday, bit of a loaded question. fine as it is, or too many eggs in one basket?
I think it's fine. You know, yeah, it's a Saturday. How could you have too much good racing on? If I was to make one small change, it might just be you'd put the Irish Oaks on the Sunday instead of the Saturday. But nah, I mean, as I said to you the other day, Mark, I tend not to moan about these things. Whatever racing is on, and if I can find winners, I'll try and find them.
Yeah. Fair enough, yeah. I like it. It's entertaining, jam-packed Saturday of racing. Yeah,
it was.
You have Super Sunday in football where there's three big games or two big games on a Sunday. Nobody complains about that. Why should racing complain?
That's it. I mean, you could argue that the Irish Oaks is kind of in the car park 5:55 after all the main action. I mean, throughout the afternoon, even the July Cup's on a little bit late. I thought 4:35. But there you go. As I say, no complaints from me.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Interesting that I think it was Joe Lyons I saw on Twitter. I'll have to double check that, but I think it was him saying, why should the Irish Oaks move to accommodate a busy schedule in the UK when Ireland's racing is Ireland's racing in its own right? It's not Super Saturday in Ireland.
There we go. Well, then just leave the Irish Oaks exactly where it is.
Just raising the argument.
I don't really mind either way, to be honest. As I say, I'm a pretty easy to please man, especially when it comes to Saturday racing of that quality. I mean, it's hard to be too negative about it. There are some issues with race planning, let's not get away from that, but I don't think this particular weekend is up for too much debate. I think it's a cracking Saturday.
Yeah.
We should be proud of it.
Yeah, yeah. My only gripe with it is Super Saturday with all this good Saturday racing, and you have three jumps race meetings on a Sunday when it's the middle of the flat season. Not that I don't like jumps racing, it's just the balance is wrong. Such a quiet Sunday in terms of the big middle of the season flat stuff.
I mean, look, if the John Smith's Cup, for example, was on the Sunday, plenty a big crowd would turn up at York.
I think they would, yeah.
But you wouldn't have the same people watching it on telly per se. You know, it's
that's what it boils down to, isn't it? The TV rights.
Yeah, essentially.
Anyway, we're not going to change that on this podcast, I don't think. So, final question: yes or no? Will Aidan O'Brien set a new top flight winners record this year?
It's not really a parameter, an achievement I look at in advance. I don't really know how many he has or how many he needs to get, if I'm honest.
I think he needs 25 Group 1 winners, I think it is.
And do we know how many he's had so far?
But always the quick answer.
Essentially, I know that he's ahead of his schedule so far, Mark.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be easy to maintain. I mean, Churchill put in a flat run last time out. Minding has been retired. Caravaggio's been beaten. It's going to be tough. Winning Group 1 races is tough to keep going throughout the season. But Aidan O'Brien, if anyone can do it, he can. But I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I think he went very close last year, didn't he? And I think it looks like he's going to have another strong challenger this time around. We'll wait and see.
Mighty stuff.
That's the Monday jury then another week. Anything else on your mind, Kev, before we move on?
No, I'm just kind of looking forward now. You've got Glorious Goodwood around the corner, as I said, the Ebor meeting. Looking forward to it all. So just looking to move forward and try and get some more winners, because my column, especially my own betting, has been a little bit up and down the last few weeks. But I'm back from holiday now and refreshed, so just looking forward to kicking on, Mark.
Okay, hopefully four winners coming your way on the back of this, because Kev's got four races prepared for us. We'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday's action. We start in the 3 o'clock at Bath, which is a 5 furlong nursery, a class 5 event. Field of 10 set to go to post for this one. Obviously, this race for the 2-year-olds, with it being a nursery. And who's caught your eye in there? Which 2-year-old has got on the shortlist already?
There's three on the shortlist for this race. There's 10 in it declared to go to post. The first of those would be Dreamboat Annie, who improved to win last time out, beaten underperforming odds on chance over the course and distance that day, but it only produced an ordinary enough speed figure. She's open to progress, but this could be just a little bit tougher. June Dog, another one trained by Richard Hannon, was a really solid fourth at Haydock over 6 furlongs last time out. Ran at Ascot, found that a little bit too hot. Won at Donny before that over 5 furlongs. Drops back to 5 furlongs, which I think is a good move. But I'm just wondering, is the Bath 5 furlongs a little bit too sharp for her, considering that she's been running at Haydock and Donny in quite stiff tracks? So the one that I've been drawn to is the filly Mick Shannon trains. She's by Born to See and she's called Aquadabra. She's got a little bit of an exposed look to her form, but she comes out best on the speed figures. She's acquired some really good experience to date. Andreette Zaney gets the ride up, and she just has the most solid look to her overall form. So I'm not quite sure what kind of a price she is. She's sure to be up high in the market, and I expect her to run a really big race. Aquadabra.
Aquadabra to win to run a big race there in the 3 o'clock at Bath. The next race we go to is the 3:45 at Beverley. This is a staying handicap, 2 miles the trip for this class 4 handicap. A field of 7 set to go to post for this one. We know plenty about a lot of these, Kevin. Who comes out on top on Tuesday?
Obviously, you know, the likes of Grometti is a solid stayer, but he's probably high enough in the handicap and he's just hard to catch right, like quite a few of these, to be honest. Corpus Chorister, he's definitely a danger. He comes out best on the speed figures consistently, but his best runs have been over shorter. He had a really easy time of it at Chester earlier this month and just got out-battled and outstayed over the trip, and it just makes you wonder, will that be the case again? So the one I've sided with is Angel Gabriel. It takes a little bit of a leap of faith to go with Angel Gabriel, but you know, at his best, he was rated at 109 back in 2014. Northumberland Plate winner. He was well supported at Chester last time out, but is yet to really hit top form in the last couple of seasons. Having said that, his mark is really tumbling. He runs off 85 here. He began the season off an £11 higher mark and hasn't been running that badly either. So the handicapper's really given him a chance here. He doesn't have much for much or any course form to his name, but this kind of track might just suit him. He might just warm to it. So I think Angel Gabriel can run a big race off his mark of 85 with Paul Hannigan doing the steering.
Angel Gabriel, the selection at Beverley then in the 3:45. We move over to Ireland next for a very good jumps race. This is the Dick and Mary Butler Memorial Handicap Chase, a Grade B event over 2 miles and one furlong. It's the 7:50 at Killarney, and a field of eight set to go to post for this one, Kevin. Some nice chases in there.
For the time of year and for the track, yeah, sure. Rock the World has to give weight away all around here. He's on quite a stiff mark of 157. He has improved in 2017, and he's a tremendous jumper when he gets into a rhythm, Rock the World. He'll enjoy the ground. I think the step back and trip is going to suit him, and he will be dangerous if he gets into a rhythm. There's no getting away from that. I just wonder, is he on a high enough mark at the moment? Devil's Bride is a lovely, lovely looking chaser. He was a fair third in the Galway Plate Trial at Down Royal last time out. Disappointing here before that. He's talented, but he's just really hard to catch right. I'm not sure what to make of him, and as I said, there's, again, from a mark of 153, there's just no room for error from his handicap mark. So the one I've came down on is Mr. 51 for that woman, Jessica Harrington. Two ordinary runs in the flat of late. They weren't bad runs, they were just ordinary enough runs, functional. Should leave him spot on for this. He was very unlucky and made a bad mistake in this race last year when he looked like the winner turning for home. So he left the race behind him last year. He's enjoyed quite a good spring. He's been at Cheltenham, he's been at Punchestown, been to some big festivals. He ran with credit nearly every occasion. So he's a solid animal, Mr. 51. He runs off a mark of 138. He's got a nice racing weight. I'll be surprised if he doesn't run a big race, Mr. 51.
Mr. 51, then, the selection for Kevin, for Jessica Harrington and Paul Townend. I was just trying to find out, having a look through, Rock the World. Has JP McManus only recently bought that? Because he didn't.
I believe so. Yeah. I'm not sure at what point, but it's certainly after Cheltenham. But yeah, he's a nice acquisition for him.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that he'd bought him until I looked at the card last night. Yeah. So it could just be
very recent.
I'm sure we can confirm that in due course.
Yeah, obviously, previous Cheltenham Festival winner, wasn't he? Won the Grand Annual Rock the World. But
he did.
Mr. 51, the selection there. Could be a decent day for Jessica Harrington then, once more. She's had plenty of them. The Thirsk 9:10 is where we finish. Is this the last race of the day, in fact?
It is.
So you've saved the best to last, perhaps, or a selection.
I just wanted to have a nice, even spread throughout the day. So we started off at 3 o'clock and go all the way through to 9:10. It's a nice little race, this. A compact little handicap, the 9:10. It's a mile handicap, class 5. But I've whittled it down to two runners. Spirit of Bell is an interesting one for David Evans. He's been gelded, and he's wearing a first-time visor since we last saw him. He didn't see out the 10 furlongs at Haydock last time out. We didn't see it out. Plus, he was just a little bit disappointing. He's back to a mile now. He's had some good form in the past. Could probably do with a shower of rain, and it's hard to know exactly what can come from. He's certainly a danger, but I'm not overly worried about him. And I'm just having a look at this Breenski, not sure which way you'd pronounce that, one or the other, for David O'Mara. Has finished second the last twice, son of Delegator. He was £4 well in last time out at Hamilton over the extended mile trip, but the winner, Cliff Bay, just found a little bit of a better turn of foot that day. It was a solid effort, and it was a good effort before that as well, over 10 furlongs at Haydock. He's acquired some useful experience the last two runs, seems to be improving and holding his form well, and runs off a mark of 69 here, which looks more than workable in a race that lacks much strength and depth. So I think Bronski in the 9:10 at Thirsk.
Right, Bronski then, or Brinski, or Briansky, whichever you prefer in the 9-10 at Thirsk. Let's have a little bit of a quick summary before you go, Kevin, as normal.
The 3 o'clock at Bath, I'm hoping that Aquadabra can get a win on the board for Mick Shannon. The 3:45 at Beverley, Angel Gabriel, I'm looking for a return to form for him. The 7:50 at Killarney, I think that Mr. 51 can leave behind an unlucky effort in the race last year. And the 9-10 at Thirsk to end the day, Bronski for David O'Mara. I think he looks a good thing.
Superb. Been a pleasure once more, Kevin. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Cheers, Mark.
And Kevin will be in the studio on Tuesday. He'll be joined by Andy Holding and Gordon Brown. We've got Bath and Beverley in the afternoon, Thirsk and Worcester in the evening, and Irish Racing as well from Killarney on Tuesday night. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's racing.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.